Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The second reading for tonight from Acts, the 10th chapter. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius," and he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send your men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. He saw the heavens opened, and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing that was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what this vision that he saw had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he arose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone in another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house, and in the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa, and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." In many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for the hope and the promise that we have in Jesus, that our sins are forgiven and we have life eternally. Father, we pray that you would help us to spread that joy, to share that hope with others. Strengthen us now in the preaching of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would expect that most of you in the room will know this day, or at least what happened here. July 20th, 1969. Anyone remember? Neil Armstrong was the very first human being to step foot on the moon. Watching it on TV, I remember bits and pieces of it, how great an event it was. Do you remember what he said? One small step for man, one great leap for mankind. It was the first time in all of history that somebody had stepped foot on the moon. And because of that, great things have happened. The space station in the sky has had people in it since 2000, continually living there, people changing in and out. NASA is under presidential order to land humans on Mars by 2033. We'll see if it happens. Once the door is open, though, the possibilities just keep coming of what could happen. Well, in the first reading for tonight, there are two significant events that happen in this Acts reading. Two events that have never happened before. Simon Peter is staying with Simon the Tanner down by the sea. He goes up on the roof. It's noon. He's hungry. They start preparing the food, and he falls into this trance. And he sees something like a sheet let down from heaven with the four corners, and as he looks in it, there are all of these animals. And the voice from God says, "Peter, kill and eat." And Peter's response, being a person raised in the Jewish religion, was, "What, Lord, I can't eat that. I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And God responds back to him, "What God has made clean, do not make common." All of those animals that were forbidden for the Jewish people to eat, pigs and ruminant animals and reptiles and birds, God says him to Peter, "Kill and eat," and the restrictions are off. BLTs and barbecues it is from that time forward. I love that story. Did you catch what Peter's response was, though, as he was hearing this? "Lord, I've not eaten anything that's common or unclean." Peter went back to what he knew. Peter went back to the law of what God had been saying for all of those times, all of those years since Leviticus. These things are off the table. Here is the first in the reading for today. God said to Peter, "What God has made clean, do not call common." The food restrictions that had separated the Jewish people from the rest of the world were now abolished. They had done what they were supposed to do. At that point in time, from Leviticus forward, these food restrictions marked God's people as unique and as special and as set apart. And now that part of what they needed to do was over. Israel looked different because of what they would eat, or really because of what they would not eat. Their food restrictions set them apart. It was also circumcision that set them apart. And all of these things were God's tools to mark those people as his own. But now, here in Acts, on this side of the resurrection, Jesus begins to change those marks. The food restrictions now disappeared because all of those things, all of those markings of God's people were fulfilled in Christ. Circumcision would be changed and it would become baptism, and he would now mark us with the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon the forehead and upon the heart. Obedience to the food restrictions that was demanded of them through Leviticus was completed and fulfilled by the obedience of Christ on the cross. There is another reason the food restrictions were lifted, though, and that really gets to the heart of the reason for tonight. A Jew could not go into a Gentile house. It was, they would become unclean if they did that, because if they were there and that family was eating something that was restricted for the Jew, they could not be there without being unclean. The food the Gentile was eating might be very something that was forbidden to them. And then that brings us to the second first in the book of Acts for tonight. Cornelius was a Gentile, and he invited Peter to come and be a part of his house. Cornelius was a Gentile. He was a Roman officer. He commanded about 100 men. He had a vision and was told to invite Simon Peter to come to his house. Peter accepted. Right after the vision of the sheet being let down, right after God took away all of the food restrictions, it was God opening the door for Peter now to go see Cornelius. The second first in the reading for today is the first evangelism call, because a Jewish man was invited to a Gentile house and he went. That's the first time in God's word that the message was now carried to the nations. No longer just in Israel, no longer just for the Jews, but now the message of hope and promise was taken into the Gentile world, into Cornelius and all of his house. Cornelius was gathered there, his family and his close friends, and Peter tells them all about Jesus. Evangelism 101 has started. Evangelism was never meant to be a program. And that's how we think about it often in the church. We need to get started. We need an evangelism program. But evangelism is really a reaction. You, all of us, dead in our sins, that is the curse that we were born with. You were deserving nothing from God but wrath and judgment, but out of God's love, our Father sent you a Savior. He sent you Jesus that died on the cross for you, that took your curse, that took your death, that took your sins, and gave you His holiness, made you holy and pure. He forgave all of your sins in the waters of baptism by connecting us to Jesus on the cross. He gave us faith so that when we hear of these promises of God and what Jesus has done, we believe without a doubt. He promises to be with us. He promises to guide us by His Spirit. He promises us comfort and peace. And all of that is yours. It's a gift to you from God, your Father. And the natural reaction when we hear something like that for us is to, well, I'll go to church if I have to. I'll sing if I'm forced to. I'll never smile or look hopeful. And if somebody asks me about the positions in the church that I've had, I'll talk about it like a prison sentence. Well, I served for 14 years. Is that the natural reaction to good news? It shouldn't be, if the news is really good. Imagine that you're going to the doctor, and the doctor has said to you those words you don't want to hear. It's cancer and it's terminal. And your world suddenly is reordered, because you know what that means. And you come into the doctor's office and he says, well, we'll set you up for some tests. Go home and take this pill and come back next week and we'll do all the tests. And you go home and you take the pill and you come back the next week and the doctor says, cancer's gone, you're fine, go home. And I'm sure you would go home and start the laundry and wash the car and maybe even mow the lawn. Really? You have just found out that the cancer that you knew was going to kill you is gone and you are free and you are healed and you're not going to tell anyone? I don't think so. You'd be burning up the phone lines with the good news, helping people that are worried about you not to worry anymore. You'd be telling others of this great pill, this great healing, this great thing that's happened. Your life has been given back to you. You've got such great news, you can't wait to tell people. That's the gospel. And that's really all evangelism is. You are not going to die, dear saint. Jesus has rescued you. Your death sentence has been paid for completely by him, without any merit or worthiness or anything that you did. In spite of the fact that you try to mess it up, he still loves you, he still forgives you, and he still promises you eternal life. That good news is yours every day of your life because of Jesus. Evangelism isn't meant to be intimidating. It's not meant to be forced. Its purpose is not to fill the seats at Divine Shepherd. Evangelism is simple. It's to tell others about the hope that you have. The hope that you have in Jesus, who has given you peace and comforted you. The hope that you have in Jesus, that he's forgiven your sins. The hope that you have when you close your eyes in death, you will open them to see your Savior with all of those who have gone before you. Evangelism is simple. It's just telling other people about good news, your good news, Jesus' good news given to you. Peter says it best in his epistle. He says this, "But in your hearts, honor Christ as the Lord, as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Do it with gentleness and respect." Peter's evangelism program was really pretty easy. Cornelius invited him over, and he talked with him. And he told him about Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.